voice, him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell, come ye before him and rejoice. And we'll stand as we sing the psalm together. Going to bow together for prayer. We do need the Lord's help, and we're conscious of that. And so let us pray that the Lord will presence himself among us and bless our souls today. Our Father, we give thanks to thee for thy mercies to us, for gathering us here in thy house this Sabbath morning. We thank thee for this beautiful January Sabbath day, and we bless thee for all the goodness of God bestowed upon us through thy Son, Jesus Christ. We do thank thee for his coming into the world and taking our sin upon him and bearing it in his own body on the cross and suffering in our place, dying in our room and stead, and shedding his precious blood that we might be redeemed from the curse and from going down into a lost eternity. We thank thee, our Father, for redemption through the blood, for salvation is of the Lord. And we thank thee for thy saving grace and for that time in our lives when we passed from death unto life, when Christ revealed himself to us and he made himself known to us. And Lord, we trusted by faith and sought the Savior. We thank thee. We can say with the hymn writer, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And Father, we thank thee that it's a good thing to be saved. Lord, it's the only thing that matters in life, in death, and in eternity. And Father, we bless thee for thy word, the Bible. We thank thee for the inspired scriptures, the word of truth. And Father, we ask of thee as we read it today, and as we think upon it, and spend time ministering from it, we pray that the help of the Holy Spirit will be given to us, that our souls might be blessed, that we might be encouraged, that we might take our stand in these evil days. Dark times are upon us, but we do thank thee that God is on the throne and the Lord remembers his own. And so, our Father, we just commit our morning service to thee and pray for a real sense of thy presence in the midst. Lord, we thank thee that we're saved this morning. Many of us will love the Lord. We tell thee that today because thou didst first love us. And our Father, we do thank thee for all that thou hast done for us. We thank thee for keeping us day by day, preserving us. And even, Lord, we're still alive to praise thee and to worship thee and to adore thee. Our Father, we commend this congregation to thee today. Bless, Lord, our assembling this morning, and we pray that thou would be in complete control of our meeting. Lord, bless the congregation week after week, and Lord, day in and day out. And may thy people know much of thy hand upon them, leading them and guiding them, and Lord, saving them from the onslaughts of the enemy. And grant our Father that they may walk with thee daily and grow in grace and in the knowledge of thy dear Son. Our Father, do remember the minister of this church. We thank thee for him. Pray thou bless him in Uganda today. And Lord, as he ministers to the people there, along with others who have gone out with him, we pray that thou would make them a blessing, even to the people of Uganda. And our Father, we ask of thee to bless the oversight of this church and bless our Father, every family that's connected to it. And we pray, Lord, for the young people and for the children. And we ask, our God, that early in life they will be led to see Christ as their own Savior. Lord, bless those who work amongst the children. Thank thee for Sabbath school teachers. Thank thee, O God, for children's workers. And Father, we pray that thou would help them not to be weary in well-doing. For Lord, in due season they shall reap if they faint not. And so, our Father, we pray for all our congregations today across this province. We pray for Corrigarie and for Convoy. We remember on the mainland and right throughout the world today, all those who stand outside the camp of ecumenical apostasy. Lord, bless them richly. Bless thy word. Bless the Church of Jesus Christ. Remember those who are suffering for their faith. We pray, Lord, for the persecuted people. Lord, encourage them, strengthen them, help them to stand and to be faithful to Jesus Christ, knowing that their reward is in heaven. And so, our Father, help us in our day of days of sin and wickedness all around us. Lord, days when it seems like the enemy is coming in like a flood, we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up the standard against him. And so, Lord, abide with us today. Pour out thy Spirit. May the joy of the Lord fill our hearts. May it be our strength. Lord, help us to know what a pleasant thing it is for God's people to dwell together in unity. And Lord, unite our hearts as we worship and as we praise the Lord. And Lord, as we serve thee even down here on this earth, Lord, may we know that blessing that maketh rich and which addeth no sorrow. Lord, remember those today who mourn and have lost loved ones. We pray, Father, for the comforting of thy Holy Spirit to be their portion, that, Lord, they might cast their burden upon the Lord, knowing that thou art their friend and their Savior and their helper in time of need. Remember the sick, Lord, and we pray that they might be raised up again according to thy divine will. And Father, we ask of thee that thou would comfort their hearts too and give them courage even in the face of affliction. Now, Lord, we commit ourselves to thee. Bless us and do us good. We ask it in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. We're going to sing another hymn, please. It's number 567. Number 567. A debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing. Nor fear with thy righteousness own, my person and offering to bring. Number 567 is the hymn, and again we'll stand while we sing it. We're turning for our Bible reading to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and we're going to begin at verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Ending there at verse 36, and we do know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his truth. At this stage, we're going to have the announcements, and one of the brethren will be coming. Mr. Hill is coming to make those announcements. Thank you.
We welcome everyone to our morning service, and if you're visiting with us, you're especially welcome. And we give a special welcome also to our preacher this morning, the Reverend David Crane, and we pray the Lord will lead and guide him in everything that he'll say. Tuesday, 6 p.m., the prayer meeting in the church hall. 6:30 p.m., the evening gospel service. The Reverend Crane will again be the preacher. Tuesday, 6:45 p.m., the children's bright hours in both the church hall and the Killalea band hall. Wednesday, 3 p.m., the broadcast on Radio Star Country. 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. Our missionary to Asia will give a report on our missionary work. There will be a missionary offering taken at the close of the meeting, and we just pray that you give as the Lord has prospered you. The Reverend McMillan will be here to lead the service, God willing. Friday, 8 p.m., the Youth Fellowship. The speaker will be Hannah Carson. Next Lord's Day, 23rd of January, 10:40 a.m., the Sunday School and Bible classes. 11:30 a.m., morning service. 6:30 p.m., evening service. Preacher of both services would be the Reverend McMillan. And then we have a special announcement. We would like to congratulate the Reverend and Mrs. McMillan on the birth of their grandson. William and Ruth had a baby boy on Tuesday. Jesse, William, David, McRoberts weighed in at 8 pounds, 6 ounces. Mother and baby are both keeping well. The family would like to thank the congregation for their prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hill, for those announcements, and we do appreciate your kind and warm words of welcome as we come to Armagh today, renewing our fellowship and bringing to you the Word of God. We count this a great privilege to come back here and to be able to preach God's precious Word to the congregation that's present today. So we thank you for your invitation and for your welcome, and we look to the Lord that his blessing will be upon us. We're going to sing again just before the preaching of the Word of God, turning to hymn number 309. Number 309, please. Thou hast snapped my fetters, thou hast made me free. Liberty and gladness I have found in thee. Liberty from bondage, from my weary load, Satan's slave no longer, now a child of God. Number 309, and it's on the screen, as you can well see, and we're going to stand again while we sing, please. Our subject this morning is liberty. We've been reading about that freedom twice in our short Bible reading already. But the verse I want to turn to now is Galatians 5 and verse 1. Liberty, the glorious legacy of the gospel. That's a grand truth. It's a great experience. We'd just been singing about it in that hymn a few moments ago. Liberty and gladness is found in Christ and in Christ alone. And so then we turn to Galatians 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And just before we begin to preach the word, let's seek God again and pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, we do thank thee for an open Bible, for our civil and religious liberty, for our glorious Reformed and Protestant faith, and for all the blessings we have in Jesus Christ in the gospel. Lord, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies by Christ Jesus. And Father, we'll never cease to praise Thee because of what Thou hast done for us, for what Thou art to us, and for the help Thou hast promised to us in the days to come. We pray for Holy Ghost help and power just now. Lord, may the Holy Spirit be in our midst, in the congregation, in my heart, giving enablement to preach the word. And Father, we'd ask for the blessing of God to attend that preaching, that they'd give us hearing ears, understanding hearts, and wills that obey the gospel of thy dear Son. Hear us now and help us, we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The Bible records the gospel's impact upon the city of Samaria in Acts chapter 8. And it records it with these wonderfully expressive words in verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. Philip, having preached the gospel in Samaria, saw a great revival, and many precious souls were gloriously saved. And there was great joy in many, many hearts. They received liberty. They received joy. They received freedom from the bondage of sin. Christ had set them free. How glorious is such an experience? That's the legacy, isn't it, that was left behind after a time of spiritual blessing in Samaria. And is it not so still today that after a time of spiritual blessing, surely there's a legacy which is left behind, the glorious liberty and the glorious freedom of the gospel that God's people experience? The Lord Jesus Christ summed up his purpose in redemption in the familiar words that we read just a while back there in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Freedom follows the Son of God. And wherever the Son of God visits, and whom he visits, freedom follows. That's your experience as a Christian. It's mine. And the life that he touches by his grace and power through his Spirit is brought into glorious liberty. Jesus began his earthly ministry by quoting Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. And this is what he says at the start of his ministry as he stood up in the synagogue at Capernaum. And the wreckage of that synagogue is still there to be seen. And he stood up there and he read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." If Christ came then to give freedom, mankind must be in bondage. And before Christ came, and before you were saved, you're in bondage. Bondage to Satan, bondage to the devil, bondage to sin. All men are born servants and slaves of sin. You look at these wonderful verses in Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Notice the two phrases in particular, servants of sin, and the verse ends with servants of righteousness. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You began your life a servant of sin. Thank God, if you're saved, you're going to end it a servant of righteousness, and you'll be on your way home to glory, where you'll never see death. I believe that in this verse, we have the past and the present of the child of God. Servant of sin in the past, a servant of righteousness now in the present. Men were servants or slaves, lusts to the devil, but now, thank God, he has made us free. For the grace of God, says Paul writing to Titus, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Where there is true freedom, there the Son of God is to be found ruling and reigning in the hearts of men and women. For in his service, in the Lord's service, there is perfect freedom. Thank God for that. Europe, you will know, emerged from the bondage of superstition, from the slavery of ignorance, and from the yoke of the dread of an unknown eternity, as the gospel of God's dear Son passed through the lands of Europe, bringing light, bringing life, and bringing liberty. And thank God for that glorious awakening and mighty revival which awakened Europe to the light of gospel truth. The unfettering of men's souls and minds from the dark yoke of popish superstitions was seen immediately in the moral and social affairs of men throughout the continent. The nations of Europe began immediately to change, and that despite the opposition of wicked men mounted against such changes led by the reformers. There were wars in the wake of the Reformation, but they were not the fault of the Reformation. Let's make that clear. While we do not contend for the sinlessness of the reformers themselves, no man is sinless, but we do contend that the evil events that followed the Reformation were very much the consequences of the resistance of wicked men to the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ through his word in the hearts of people. The Reformation was no more to blame for the harmful upheavals and the wars that followed it than were the apostles in New Testament times for the rioting and civil disorder and the bloodshed which often followed their preaching. That was because evil men rose up against the gospel against the people of God and fought against them, imprisoned them, beat them, tortured them, and killed them. And that was the cause of any upheaval, disruption, or war that came about as a result. In the days of the apostles and in the days of the reformers, dark forces were at work to hinder and to crush the gospel witness, as vile men laid false accusations regarding the ministries of these people. They laid false accusations against the apostles and against the reformers, and therefore troubles resulted. As, for example, in Acts chapter 17, slanderous accusations were laid against the apostle Paul, and great uproar was experienced in the city of Thessalonica, and many people were forced to flee because of the difficulties that arose because of wicked men. And so today, it's still the same. I'm sure, believer this morning, child of God, you can recall your own conversion experience. Back at that time when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the difficulties that many of you perhaps encountered as you embarked on your Christian life, started your journey as a believer, blind and filthy sinners opposing you, as you sought to obey the gospel and to live for Jesus Christ and to stand for righteousness. You had opposition. You had remarks made against you. You had people who opposed you. And friends, evil hasn't changed one bit, because as it was in the days of the apostles, as it was in the days of the Reformation, so it is still today. Evil men oppose the gospel. They oppose God's people. They oppose the truth. They don't like to be told the truth, and therefore they will oppose it. And I believe that many still have had that experience. And so this morning, as we speak on liberty, the glorious legacy of the gospel, I'd like you to remember who is the author of liberty. The author of liberty. The liberty, it says in verse 1 of Galatians 5, notice it, the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. The author of liberty is the Lord Jesus, is the Son of God. We've been reading about him in John chapter 8. If the Son therefore shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. Thank God he sets us free. How does Christ do this? He purchased our freedom with his blood. By the shedding of his blood on the cross of Calvary, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And in Revelation, we read about the saints in glory singing. And this is what they sing. And they sing a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Our freedom was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, shed on the cross, the place called Calvary, where Jesus suffered and died in our stead, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah! What a Savior. And he leads us to freedom by his word. Not only has he purchased our freedom by his blood, but he leads us to freedom day by day, into more freedom, into more liberty, into the more of the joy of that experience through his word day by day. John chapter 8, verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth." He said this to those who believed on him as he spoke these words. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's an ongoing thing. Yes, it was instant at the time. The Lord plucked them as a brand from the burning, from the fire. And from then on, they were being made free. The more they learned, the more they knew of God's word, the more they imbibed the scriptures in their heart, they were being made free, a glorious freedom, an experience to be enjoyed by every child of God. Thank God he redeemed us, purchased us by his blood, and he leads us by his precious word. Under the instruction of God's word, a sinner finds life and is led to liberty. As it was in the night of the Passover in Egypt, when Israel began a journey that led them to the freedom of the promised land. So every one of us who has sought refuge under the Savior's blood has likewise begun a journey of increasing freedom, which will end in the light of freedom's special perfect day in glory. What does Proverbs 4 verse 18 say? It says, "But the path of the just," that's you if you're saved, "the path of the just, the path of the righteous, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." There's a perfect day coming. Oh, today isn't perfect. Times aren't perfect as you look around us. All around us is sin. Sin's coming in like an avalanche every day into our society, into our political world, into our religious world, into society, into social life. Sin is abounding. But thank God there's a perfect day coming when we shall be delivered not only from the power of sin, but from the very presence of sin, from the avalanche of iniquity. Thank God we'll be presented into the very presence of our wonderful Redeemer. That's a day to look forward to. That's a great day, and it's something we should keep in mind at all times. He also helps us and keeps us in freedom by the grace of his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. God, the Lord Jesus asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, in my name. The Lord Jesus was leaving his disciples. He was with them. He was their Comforter. He was their strength and their stay. But they were concerned and sorrowful because he was leaving them, going back to glory. But God sent the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Another of the same, the Paraclete. Another of the same as Jesus Christ, the Comforter, abiding within our hearts. So the Lord hasn't left us. He's with us still. He's here. He's actually within us. Well, we can't see him, but he's there. He's actually within us. God in our hearts. What a wonderful thought to think that God Almighty would humbly reach down and save a sinner like me and place his Holy Spirit into my heart, making me a child of God and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. What a blessed thought. How wonderful to dwell on that. How enriching for the soul. How enlightening for the mind. How steadfastly it stays our minds upon Jehovah. And I trust that'll be your experience. The Bible says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Let us then yield to the rule of God's Spirit, and we will find him to be our guide to liberty after liberty from the power and from the dominion of sin. That's the ongoing work of sanctification. That's holiness, desiring holiness, follow after holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Not only have we the author of liberty, but we have the nature of liberty. It is a spiritual liberty. It is a liberty of the soul, a liberty of the spirit, liberty of the heart and of the mind. It's a spiritual liberty. It's not a physical one. It's not an earthly one, because in many parts of the world today, believers do not have temporal liberty. In fact, many are in jail, being tortured, being killed for the gospel's sake. That's not liberty. But the liberty we're speaking about this morning is a spiritual liberty. Oh yes, you may be hounded by the devil. You may be disliked by some of the ungodly. But thank God, inwardly in your heart, you have a liberty in Christ. You have a joy in the Holy Ghost. You have a presence that the world out there knows nothing about. And that will steady your mind. It will steady your heart. It will make you strong in the Lord and enable you to withstand all the powers of darkness that are arrayed against you. May God make you strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I refer again to the Reformation and ask, who was more free on the day that Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley were burned at the stake by the orders of bloody Queen Mary? Was it the two men in the flames at the stake? Or was it those who were tying him and burning him at the stake? The words of Latimer to his young friend, Nicholas Ridley, show who had the real liberty in their hearts. Listen to his words as he said, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by the grace of God in England as I trust shall never be put out." Those two men in the midst of the flames had more liberty than those who were burning them. Thank God we have that liberty today. And in your heart, you can let it spring up as you read the word, as you trust in Christ, as you know the constant infilling of the Holy Spirit. You'll be strong in the might of God. It is a freedom from the condemnation of the law. You will know that in Romans 8, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." What a wonderful assurance that verse brings to the heart of a child of God. And the hymn writer said, the wrath of a sin-hating God. With me can have nothing to do. We sang it earlier. My Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. Isn't it good to know the death of Christ, the blood he shed, hides all my sin, all my transgressions from the view of Almighty God. When he looks at me today, he sees me a blood-bought sinner, washed in the blood of the Lamb, accepted in Jesus Christ. My sins are gone, they're past, they're forgiven. And he promises, I will remember them no more forever. Freedom from the power of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but you're under grace. The word dominion means lordship. So sin no longer has lordship over me. Christ is the Lord of my life. Is he Lord of your life? Is he the lordship ruling over you? Sin no longer rules or reigns, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The believer is not left to try and forge a path of holiness through the undergrowth of his own entangling corruptions, but rather he is led in a plain path of triumph and of victory over sin day by day. Is that your experience? And again, picture the scene of Israel leaving Egypt and walking through the Red Sea unmolested and dry shod. Such may be our walk and triumph over sin as we yield to the Spirit's leading day by day in our lives. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2 says, forasmuch then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, death holds no fear for the child of God. For I am in a strait, said Paul, betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Here is no fear, but rather a joyful longing for Christ and for home on the part of the apostle. For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. The child of God has a friend in life, and he has a friend in death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, how wonderful to have such a Savior. Isn't it good to trust in him? Do you love him today for all that he has done for you? Can you say he is my all and in all? But having said all those things, dear friend, I would have to say as well, there is a threat to our liberty. A threat to liberty. We may become entangled again. The yoke may be slipped upon our shoulders again, and we may find ourselves once more bound and fettered. It is possible to backslide and to become fettered again in the things of the world. We want to ask God to prevent that from happening. And as we press on with determination, then we know God will Help us to succeed in our Christian life. There is a threat to our national liberty. It is posed by the rise again of Romanism through the floodgates treacherously opened by those who have deceitfully gained positions in churches which profess to be Protestant. We saw that on the 21st of October in this great city, in the Church of Ireland Cathedral. We saw such deceit, which we lament and which grieves us deeply. And from such apostasy, God's people are called to separate, to come out from amongst them, and to touch not the unclean thing. And God says, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. The Bible commands separation, and it demands, it's a doctrine of the Scriptures, and to disobey. And I have to say that sadly, and this is not a condemnation, but it's something which grieves us. The very presence of God's people, professing Christians, in the midst of that apostasy only strengthens the hand of the apostasy and provides a cover of respectability for it, because God's people remain in such a system. That's sad. It grieves my heart. I'm glad we're a separated church. We're a separated people. Thank God we have obeyed the Scriptures. Jesus, or the Word says, from such withdraw thyself. Would to God that God's people across this province would withdraw themselves from such deception and such religious leaders that take them away from God. Pray to that end. Nothing is impossible where God is concerned. Thank God they separated at Reformation time in their thousands from such deception. God set them free, and what liberty they enjoyed. Such a deception has been given great impetus by the presence, as I've said, of those who still maintain their link with that apostasy. Not only is there a threat to our national liberty, but there's a threat to our personal liberty. How does that come about? Well, this threat is posed by our old enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The child of God is commanded to remain separated from sin. And failure to obey that command results in the loss of liberty. If you don't separate yourself from sin, dear brother, dear sister in Christ, then you lose your freedom. You lose your liberty. Was this not what happened to Samson? And yea, even to the great man David himself, to name but just two of the many whose failures and follies are recorded in God's Word. In order to serve as a warning to you and me and all who followed them afterwards, their follies should be a lesson to us, and they should teach us to maintain separation from the world and from sin and from the things of this world. Because, says the Word, because thou sayest, this is written to the church at Laodicea, those who are deceived and who let the Lord down, become like the church at Laodicea, who Jesus said, because thou hast sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Backslider, that's you. That's you. Oh, you may boast in your liberties. You may boast in the past. But my dear friend, you know not that thou art wretched inwardly. Thou art miserable. Thou art poor, blind, and naked. And oh, how you need to repent of your backsliding, your coldness of heart, and know that revival blessing of God. Thank God we are commanded here to stand fast in the liberty. Notice that exhortation, stand fast. That means we must exercise our liberties. We must make use of the benefits we have in Christ, or else we will lose them. Many a person in the past, it used to be a law, I'm not sure how that law is now, but many a person in the past lost a property by allowing others the uninterrupted use of that property. And when the owner sought to occupy it for himself, he discovered that he couldn't do it because of his years of neglect causing him to forfeit all claims to that property. Don't let that happen to you spiritually, friend. Neglect of the things of God, neglect of God's house, neglect of God's word, neglect of prayer, neglect of serving Christ, neglect of standing for the Lord, neglect of taking up a good stance for the things of God. Friend, you could lose everything. And you'll have nothing left but wood, hay, and stubble. And it will be burnt up. What a tragedy to be empty-handed when Christ comes back or calls us to his side. What a tragedy. Let us stand fast in prayer. Let us stand fast in the word. Let us stand fast in service. You know, it is the gospel labors of the child of God that preserves liberty in our nation. It saddens me again that when I think that it used to be that almost at every street corner in our city of Belfast, there was a gospel meeting on a Saturday night or at some time during the week. And now these have diminished to almost nil, not quite, but almost nil. And if the LGBT groupings get their way, the gospel will be banned. Make no mistake about that. That's the aim of sodomy. The aim of the sodomites. They're a greater threat to the church and to the gospel than anything else at this present time. Doing their best, Stonewall is a branch of the LGBT, and Stonewall is influencing government in every department. And government is giving way to that influence. That's what we're up against, friends. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Thank God Christ gives us liberty. This world would bind us. They're against evangelical Christians. They're against you and me. They're against us. The devil's against us. The world is against us. But thank God we can say with Luther, we're against the world. And may God give us grace to be faithful to Jesus Christ, that when he comes, as we were singing, we'll hear the well done. The well done. That's what it's all about. That's the most important thing. What would it profit if you gained the whole world? The devil tried to give Christ the world, brought him up into a high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, if you will but bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms and all the glory of them and everything that makes for happiness here. But you notice the devil never mentioned eternity. He never mentioned hell. He never mentioned the burning fires of wrath. But the Lord Jesus knew all about that. And he took the devil to the Word of God, and he said, it's written, it's written. Brethren and sisters, I take you to the Word of God today and tell you what you know already, but just to reinforce it, it's written. Read it. Meditate upon it. Study it. Imbibe it in your heart. Live it out in your life. Trust God. And regardless should the sky fall, take your stand for Jesus Christ. Be not ashamed of him or his gospel. And you'll know that glorious freedom of soul, of mind and of heart. And you'll enjoy the blessing of God that maketh rich and keeps on enriching day by day. Not with corruptible things, but with the spiritual things of God. May God be pleased to bless his word to all our hearts for Christ's sake. Let's bow together as we close in prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the liberty we have to preach the word today. We're conscious, Lord, that there are forces at work who would try to prevent that from taking place. We pray, Lord, that they would overthrow their plans, bring to naught every scheme of the enemy, and grant, O God, that thy precious truth will go forth with power to the salvation of the lost, and to the building up of the saint, and to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let it flourish in our own hearts. Lord, make us flourishing Christians. Set us on fire with the gospel. Fill us with Holy Ghost power. Send us out and forth, knowing that Christ goeth before us. He's with us, he's by our side. Yea, the Holy Ghost is right within us. And O God, make us strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So bless thy people today. Bring the sinner to Christ. Bring the backslider back again into fellowship with thee and with thy people. And Lord, bless thy church, and may it go forward from strength to strength, unwearied, in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it for his sake and in his name. Amen.